first off, how many of you have actually heard of Box before you signed up for this conference? That makes me really happy, about half of you, okay. And how many of you have actually tried it and shopped us? Amazing, thank you. And just to kind of get an idea of the audience in the room today, how many of you are doing the writing of your content? Day-to-day writing? All right, what about the visuals, the photos, the videos themselves? Okay, and then who are the data numbers people? Yay, okay, it's a pretty even split. I'm going to tell you a story about a time when the data team at Boxed and the creative team at Boxed almost didn't get along. It was a big problem our company was facing. We had differing points of view. We ended up coming together, and spoiler alert, there's a happy ending, but we'll get to that hopefully soon. So without further ado, this is how Boxed rebranded around a customer concern and won. So this is the mission of Boxed overall. We are the smartest way to stock up and save for home, for work, and for life. We are the online wholesale club. Think of Costco, Sam's, BJ's, but all online. And we were founded in 2013 by high school best friends in a little garage in New Jersey just across the river here by Che and his friends in 4 short years. We're now at $100 million in sales. And just last week, we were named number 2 on Crain's top 100 fastest growing companies in New York. So it's been a crazy, crazy fast onboarding, but it wasn't always such a certain future. I think there were a lot of times we were all a little scared. I'm going to take you through that time we were more vulnerable and wondering about what was next. But before we do that, this is the birth of Boxed. So our founders came together in that garage in 2013 and really saw that there were some really interesting trends out there in the marketplace. The first being commerce migration. So when Che was a little boy, he'd go with his family to Costco every single weekend, you know, get in the car, his sister all there. And you know, they'd spend the entire Saturday shopping for bulk goods. It was all about the savings. But as he became a young man, had two children of his own, he realized, you know, most of my friends in the city don't actually have a car. You know, both parents are working. How the hell are we going to spend our weekend doing errands? We could be spending it doing family things together. And then there's a lot of people not served by those big box stores in the middle of the country that don't have access to these deals that want them. He also saw the trend that was happening in grocery overall. 25% of Americans currently buy their groceries online. And by 2020, that's going to be $100 billion worth of sales. So that's a really big pie. The guys really wanted a piece of that, both for personal reasons and just, you know, as a business, seems like a great opportunity. And then the other thing that was happening was feedback from my hair flipping, was mobile. So I don't know about you guys, but I wake up to my phone, I'm on Instagram all day. I mean, for my job, mostly. But just, you know, everything that I want is there. People spend about 3 hours a day on their phones on average. I think that's being pretty not so generous. And we kind of realized too, even shopping, most of my friends now will go to a store in person and they won't necessarily buy the item at that day. They'll go on their phone, check it at 5 other stores. There's so much research at our fingertips. I shop at Rent the Runway, for example, and I will not click on the brand's description of what they're selling me. I will look at the UGC first, and I will see how real women are wearing the clothing, what they think of it, how it felt, and that's really where I'm getting my data. So you're not just competing against the people in your one niche or in your one town, you're competing against the entire country because there's all this research. Great for consumers, a challenge for brands. So if we could create an app where we have the best pricing and have the best experience, can we compete there? Maybe the founders thought they took a bet on that. And lastly, millennials. I'm sure you guys are all sick of hearing this term. It's probably been all over the conference thus far, but it's our target audience. They are powerful, they are strong. Most of us in this room look like we're part of that generation, and we're all trying to attract this group who is mobile, who is doing that mobile research. So how do we make all these three things come together? And then another really cool shift that we saw happening was the value equation, right? Back in the day, you want to save a buck, money is the number one thing that you're thinking about. But now, if it is a two-income household where you're both working your asses off, you don't really have, or even if it's one person and they're working 2 or 3 jobs, you don't have the time to go to the store. And maybe it's more about, like, how close is it for me? How far do I have to drive? What is the traffic like? People are really valuing their time as equally, if not more, than their money. And again, that brand factor, that really, is it reviewed? Is it trusted? Do my friends like it? The birth of influencer marketing is huge here as well. So these trends were all kind of converging to create Boxed Wholesale. How is Boxed different to competitors? I know a lot of you have tried Boxed, so I want to keep it pretty short, but this is just kind of the ways that we feel like we distinguish ourselves in the market. We are not the everything store. We get asked in all of our press, how are you guys competing with Amazon? I don't want to compete with Amazon. I can't afford to compete with the big guy. And I think that's actually a good thing, right? We only have about 1,200 SKUs or different products total. At Amazon, you go online, I want paper towels. There are 600 different kinds of paper towels to choose from, all with reviews. Like, if you ever read a paper towel review, guys, it's pretty dry. No pun intended. At Box, we really have maybe two or three brands per item. So you're getting the bounty of things you expect, and also our private label brand, Prince and Spring, which I think is pretty damn good. But it's all kind of about not taking up too much of your time. It's an easy, seamless experience. But it's also saving the customer money, right? Because it costs money to house all those products in a warehouse. If we can give you two or three, we're saving space, we're saving rent, we're saving overhead, we're passing that savings on to the customer. The second is fast, free shipping on most orders. We've actually gone to Costco and done the whole schlep, getting it into your car, Sam's Club, BJ's. That stuff's heavy, right? Think about how much ship. We do such things in bulk, and the way we're structured, it's all, you know, bulk items, so the carts are large enough where we can afford to pay for the shipping for you. It's easy, it's convenient. For example, I live in Brooklyn, our fulfillment center's in New Jersey. I get my stuff in one day. Our promise is 2 days, but one day is actually the reality for a lot of people in this country. And then convenient app, right? We're all on our phones all the time. I can use one hand here, hold a baby in the other hand, and get everything I need for my family for not just the week, but the month if I'm buying in bulk, right? Lastly, and this is the cool part that I know the least about, I'm not the tech person at the company by any means, but Mashable came to the Fulfillment Center last Saturday, and they filmed our robots. So you guys have probably heard of self-driving cars. We have self-driving carts, which I think are kind of cooler. They basically go around and make your order for you. So rather than a human hurting their back or lifting these really big, heavy things, we have a robotics that can do it for us. And another thing I really want to point out here and drive home is that we were covered a lot in the press for our automation. It was something that was on par with Amazon's, but when we implemented this, not a single person lost their job. Our founder, CEO Che, is really invested in his people. That's why I work for him, and that's why people across the country do. And he, rather than firing those people that were lifting those heavy boxes and put in years with the company, he trained them on the machinery, and now they're running robots. So not only are they paying full-time salaries with benefits, they are now also taking skills they can take to their next job, and hopefully improve life for their families as well, because he came from nothing and really wanted his employees to feel that same way. Next, free samples that you pick. My favorite part of Costco shopping was always like the hot dog on a stick, but you know, you wait in line for a while to get it. It's not always the warmest thing in the world, not to hate on Costco, but at Box, you get to pick the samples. So what's coming to you is something that you actually care about. There's usually about six. Last night, I got turkey jerky and toilet paper, which probably says more about me than you want to know, but I was pretty jazzed about that. And then lastly, this is the big differentiator for us, no membership fees. You know, Costco premium membership, it's over $100, guys. That's not an insignificant sum. And then, you know, think about Amazon. I'm a Prime member, but it's $90, right? And that's the kind of thing where we didn't want a barrier between families getting deals on bulk things they need, and not walking into our store, but walking into our digital store and really providing for their families. So that we feel very strongly about that. Any questions so far about Box? Okay, let's get into the fun stuff. Oh, very quickly, Fulfillment Center. So this is how we do what we do. Though we are 4 years old, we made it a point to make sure we could scale appropriately and reach people we needed to reach. Union, New Jersey is the closest one to everyone here who lives here. I know a lot of you traveled, actually, too. But I really want to give a shout out to our Atlanta and Flower Mound, Texas fulfillment centers. When we had the awful hurricanes last month, there were people in Florida that could not get water. The stores were just out. Because of our location, we were able to donate thousands of bottles within a day and get people before the storm hit. So this has been really critical for us in the communities where our people work and where we serve. And lastly, Las Vegas, Nevada, for the West Coast, where a lot of our investors are and a lot of the tech people we want to keep toast to. I mean, we are competing with the Costcos of the world and the BJs, but we're also a tech company first. We only had an app for our first year. We didn't even have a website. And we found out that our B2B business, the people weren't buying with us because it didn't look like they were on their phones at work, even though they were doing work on their phones. So the website was built for them. So this all sounds pretty great, right? How many of you are ready to buy from Boxed online in bulk, right? I was too. I drank the Kool-Aid. I was so jazzed. But then we did that thing in marketing where you do research, right? We finally sat down, did a segmentation survey, maybe 3 years too late, and realized that all those millennials, the young families that we wanted to reach, actually had really negative and scary associations with the word bulk. Now, like, bulk is all of our business, right? Do we just kind of sweep that under the rug and like not talk about the word bulk? Is it a Macbeth kind of thing, we just don't say it? Or is there a way that we can fix it? So the data guys are like, don't say bulk, just like call it big or call it something else. And we're like, okay, the content guys were thinking about it. And we kind of had this revelation, you know what, I'm not going to hide who I am. Like, how many times in kindergarten did you learn the lesson, like, be who you are and just own it, right? So, like, we're that kid with that nerdy name that everyone's going to pick on. What can we do to own that and maybe even redefine it? So the question that we asked on that survey was, what do you think of when you hear the word bulk? And I really wanted to share with you guys what people said, and it wasn't very nice, but we're going to go there. So this is people's deepest, darkest fears about bulk. This first one. This is actually taken at Black Friday, full disclosure, but people look like ants. They are carrying a big screen TV on their backs. Like, people's faces are getting bashed in. This is just like a pretty stressful, crowded situation. We're all doing it at the end of the day to get a consumer good. That, like, I mean, if I was in this picture, I'd be a little embarrassed, right? Like, we've all thought about getting the deal, but that just seems like you're putting savings before your humanity. It's a little sketchy. Oh my God. For water and basic needs. Like, life should not be that way. That's so scary. But your people, at the end of the day, it's like they're motivated to provide for their family. If that's for my kid, I'm going to go for it too. I hear them. And people do this every year, not just on Black Friday, as you mentioned. I'm a big Game of Thrones girl, so this next meme is really smart. One does not simply shop at Costco on Saturdays. So, you know, the Costco trip, like Saturday, think of it like 7 a.m. You're up early, the family's showered and ready, coffee to go, you get in the car, if you have a car, maybe you're renting a car. You sit in traffic on your Saturday, just like you do every other day of the week. You try to find parking. It's kind of like this Tetris of parking. You walk into the store. If you're there too late and the traffic slowed you down, you're not going to get what you need. It's a whole production. It really has to be planned out. It's almost like a battle strategy, right, to get in and get out. So people were like, there's no way I'm dealing with that. Just to save a couple bucks, I'd rather just have my time. The next thing that they said was this, which I'm definitely very guilty of. You know, you go in the store for one item, and you're like, oh my God, TV, or like, oh my God, there's gummy bears. And then you end up with this shit show, excuse me, which is, you know, someone had to carry this physically to the back of their car, right? Not to mention when they get home with the keys, and maybe there's like little people or dogs running around. People just got like visible hives, like when they thought about what it means to shop in bulk and bring that home. So basically people were giving us this, like, bulk is scary, I want nothing to do with it, no thank you. And this is only part of the feedback that we got. And one more, because I think this is kind of fun. This is where people went visually. They remember being a small kid walking down the aisle with mom and dad, if they're a millennial, and like the stuff's basically in shrouds. Like, Halloween is coming, it's dusty, it's scary, it's not really personal. If I'm growing up playing with Instagram and looking at this beautiful dream life that I want to have, this isn't my dream life. This is pretty gnarly, right? It's not an aesthetically pleasing experience. It's cold, it's chilly, it's just not something that I want to involve my family in, maybe. But what if we could find a way to change the way people perceive bulk? What if we could redefine it? That was the thing that my creative team was tasked with, and here is how we went about doing it. Before I move on, are there any questions at this point? Introducing Bulk is Beautiful. Bulk, again, has a lot of scary associations. It's not only bulk goods, it also mean weight, and I think a lot of our target audience is women, so it's a very loaded term for a lot of people. What if we could make them see the beauty of bulk and being prepared and being stocked up for the people that you love? First step for us was the beauty of bulk is convenience, right? I'm thinking back to that time when I, as a personal shopper, really look at customer reviews before anything else. Here, I went to trusted mom influencers. I don't want you to hear it from me. I want you to hear from the people that are making this family thing work every single day. The one on the left, Boxed Wholesale just made going back to school so much easier for us. Wholesale prices, free delivery, and free samples, pluck big sizes of our favorites. So this is a kind of thing where, you know, it's a repetitive task. Moms and dads do it every single day. You're always going to need the special fruit snack. You're always going to need their favorites. If you have allergies, especially in the middle, it's a whole other problem, right? Gluten-free snacks. These kids are in lunchrooms where there's all these things they can't have. What can we do to make that pain point easier? And I was so excited to see the engagement on these posts. It was real moms asking questions of other moms and responding. So it was a really cool forum in which to show bulk doesn't have to be this thing that's a stress to bring into your home and then store. It actually was fun. The kids are playing in the boxes. So it made their life a little easier. Next, the beauty of bulk is time back to do you, right? I mean, because you spend so much of your life either at work or doing errands, what are ways that you can maybe get that time and do something else, right? So on the left, this is one of my favorites. It's a family of boxes camping. This is for summer. We did a big s'mores activation, so this was something that we did with Hershey's. The one in the middle, we actually sell hotels on Boxed, which which sounds a little strange when you first think about it, but we talk to a lot of people, and the things they love at Costco are those vacation deals, right? If you're spending time with your family and providing for them, getting away is also a priority with them and spending time with them. So we have Venus Razors on chaise lounges there, enjoying and soaking up their weekend. They just earn back because they're saving time and money with us. And lastly, barbecues. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I host one in my tiny Brooklyn area, like you spend most of your time shopping and planning and cooking and not a lot of time enjoying it. But if I'm buying, like, I don't know how many ounces that is of ketchup, but a big old thing of ketchup and mustard and relish, I'm not going to have to go out every time I throw a party. I can have more parties because I just have it all ready to go. Don't have to think about it. I can actually enjoy myself. So we put a hula skirt on mustard to convey that. It's beautiful. And lastly, second to last, is hosting. So our activation here was really DIY event guides and recipes. How many of you took the subway this morning on the way to work? Are we here? Okay. Did any of you see the boxed wholesale ads currently running? You did. Okay, that's very exciting for me. Thank you. Q-train, yeah, Q-train. Right. Some AC trains as well, I'm hearing. I'm still discovering like which trains we're on. It's very exciting. But this is one of my favorite ones we ever did. Roasting is your mother-in-law's favorite sport. Stock up for hosting family drama. And Planters paid me to write that and they put it up there. It was like the coolest thing. So when you think about hosting, you know, there's enough to worry about making sure your guests are comfortable. What if you can just have the hosting part come to you? Another big differentiator for us is we sell wine in bulk, and it's awesome. We partnered with Dustin Wilson, who's the sommelier in the Netflix documentary Somm, and he curated this list of amazing wines that are award-winning, global, but also affordable. Like, I can buy a six-pack of wine, have it delivered to my door, and then just binge-watch Netflix like as long as I want, but maybe share it with other people, too, if I so feel like it. Halloween is coming. That's actually my photo assistant's. Where's the laser pointer? Yeah, I knew I wanted to use this. Right there. We have an amazing in-house photography, design, video studio, and they dreamed up this beautiful campaign where they just got to play dress-up all day and play around with bulk candy. Because the scariest thing about Halloween is running out of candy when there's trick-or-treaters everywhere. And lastly, DIY weddings. I mean, so many of our customers are younger. They're going through these big life events that are kind of expensive. If you can stock up on beautiful seltzer and candy and all these other things and not have to worry about getting it catered, we can save money. And also, it can still be a beautiful, photographable, Instagrammable, Pinterest, pinning-worthy experience. And then the last part, the beauty of bulk is that it's for you. Another piece of negative feedback that I didn't have time to share was like people, when they thought of bulk, thought of, you know, the people of Walmart memes, where it's like everyone's just like looking for a deal, maybe they forgot pants. Or they think of their grandparents who, like, maybe Nana had, like, 50 or 60 things of preserves down in the basement but was never going to actually go through it. How do we show that bulk is for a modern family, maybe in a smaller space? And the answer really came from our customers. We ship everything in these giant, bright boxes. Most of them are teal now. We have some pink ones up here, too. But we realized people started sending in photos unsolicited of their children in boxes, their dogs. Yesterday, someone sent in a picture of two rescue cats in a box, which was something we didn't originally think of when we started packing it full of groceries, right? So we actually started owning that, and now we have something called Creativity Kits. They ship for free. This is the latest one, modeled again by our photo assistant, Marilyn. That's a smartphone kit. Don't wait in line. Get it ordered to the store. It was in time with the iPhone. But yeah, we give you the paints, the supplies, the glue, the glitter, and you can create these things. It's not just kids doing it. Like, a lot of our friends are ordering a six-pack of wine and then just having craft night and making castles and aquariums and stuff with our boxes. So you don't have to be a mom with a minivan to shop for bulk. You can be someone throwing a party. You could be a dog mom who just needs a lot of dog food. And there's just so many ways that it can work in your life. So how did all of this work? You know, we came from a very scary place where the business model was in peril, right? We had done all this work to make bulk happen, make it easy, make it good. People weren't ready for it. Did this messaging change anything? Based on these results, I'm going to say yes. People really responded with bulk is beautiful in a huge way. We had 125.7% increase in engagement. That was in 7 months. I have no budget. This was organic, social, and engagement. People sending in photos of themselves, engaging with our products, and those influencers really, really helping us along. We had a 71% increase in fans. Word-of-mouth referrals were huge for us here. And lastly, PR and growth. The campaign itself, Bulk is Beautiful, was covered in Digiday, which was a huge, exciting moment for us to see all that work out there in the world. We're featured on the Today Show, Good Housekeeping, The Wall Street Journal, and again last week, number 2 on Crain's Business Fastest Growing Companies. So I think my advice here was, I mean, for us, you work so hard on something, you love it. If you're a part of the startup yourself, you really obviously eat and sleep and drink and breathe this company. But if the data comes back and shows you something that's maybe ugly about yourself or that you think might not work, I always challenge you to think about ways where you can just kind of own it and change the way people talk about what you're doing. Because that's what we did, and I think it worked pretty well. So with that, I know we're a little under on time, but I wanted to give either back to you guys or open it up to some questions. Yes. We have a special microphone.
Caught me by surprise. Wow.
We want to capture the audio. That's why we want the microphone for every question.
So the brand integrations that were really beautiful, how do you kind of work with brands that have very strict guidelines around what they want included, and they want 500 logos in there, and they want all of their mentions and everything? Like, who gets the ultimate creative control?
That's a fantastic question. I mean, ultimately, the creative control does go to the brand. If it's something like Pepsi, for example, is one of our biggest brands that we work with. Gatorade can only be shown by itself. It cannot be shown with any of their chips or their sodas or anything else, and for good reason, right? It's a health product. So I think knowing those parameters and working with them over 4 years, you kind of get to know where the sore points are. But they also, because we're so small and we're so nimble and we're creating these things in-house, the cool thing has been they start to kind of trust that we're able to bring things to them. Like what we did, which was kind of ballsy, we took the Subway campaign. Let me go back and see if I can grab that picture for you real quick. It's not actually a photograph of Planters peanuts. We took their labels and made it kind of flat. It's actually a hand-drawn drawing with the label on front. So what we did, we did this first, asked questions and for apologies later, and presented it to Planters, and they said, yeah, we love that design, let's do it. So it was kind of a matter of knowing the parameters you can play in, but also how we can differentiate. So we found a lot of them were happy to do a Facebook Live. Like Facebook Live we did with Planters 3 weeks ago now, and we basically counted 850 peanuts live on air. They wanted a live segment, we wanted some engagement, and they were willing to like let us try something because we're small and we're ready to do it.
I guess follow-up too is how often do you accept or do you use the brand's content or do they ever submit content that you would feature if it's
great question.
Quality enough?
Yeah, we do that as well. So we just recently launched a brand page with Dove. Dove is one of our best-selling products. We have a lot of clients that just absolutely adore it, and they're launching a baby line. So we created a custom page for them on our site. Scrollable, it's great for SEO, it's searchable, and we used a lot of the amazing Dove videos and content pieces to tell the story about their brand, but kind of in that boxed voice. So that was a case where their creative was so strong, and I think so in line with what we did, that we really just brought it on in-house. Yeah. And we're doing it with some other cool brands in the next couple months, so please stay tuned. Great question.
Okay, this room is a little tighter, so just be patient with me as I make my way around.
And can everyone say and what company they work for, too? I'd love to.
Hi, my name is Ash. I work for Common Ground. And so I have a question about integration for other marketing channels. So did social lead this, and how was it integrated, say, with email, or was there any other type of advertising, and which one led which?
Definitely. So the great thing about an in-house creative team is that they do it all. The other thing is that they're kind of scrapped for time and resources, right? So if I create an asset like this candy one, for example, I'm going to use it as many times as I can because I think it's awesome. So we did five different versions of this. There was like Frankenstein, a witch. We kind of like looped it through. That was on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and then custom emails as well. We do something called Discovery Email, which highlights new products every month, and we often include at least one piece of social creative. It's a reminder that we're on social. We want you to follow and engage with us, but also just a way to highlight the great content that we do. We've actually trademarked Bulk is Beautiful as well for future use in ads when we have money. Yes. Great question. Down in front.
Of course, it's fun, but you get a mic anyway.
Hi, I'm Justin Moore from Trending Family. And I'm curious, when you do social activations, do you find certain platforms perform better than others in terms of ROI, that kind of thing?
Very much so. I think Facebook is, by and large, our largest converter. I mean, for us, it's just a really affordable way to target audiences. If I have like maybe a couple $100 to promote a single post, I can target moms in a specific geographic area or even, you know, at a specific interest rate. So it's just a really smart way to talk to the people I want to talk to and maybe not just kind of pray and spray, which I think a lot of the other platforms tend to be. That said, we're having a lot of growth on Instagram as well. I wish they had better metrics so I could have a better picture on how things are actually translating into sales. But in terms of viewership, Instagram Stories is a really fun platform we've been doing more and more of, and it's a kind of fun way to tease promotions, product launches. So that's been, I think, successful in terms of getting word of mouth. We have more shares and more engagement there. But in terms of actual conversion, Facebook's been my best so far.
Hi, I'm Natalie with the Home Depot. This kind of struck a nerve with me because you are incorporating a lot of brands into these creatives. Mm-hmm. My question is if you have any insight into negative feedback specific to certain brands. So a lot of times we're promoting, let's just say, like, I'm not going to give a name, but a specific appliance brand that sure. just people have a very negative connotation with and a lot of bad experiences. And we can only do so much on our end as the Home Depot, because we can't really speak specifically to the brand. So just wanted to get your thoughts there.
Sure. I think this is something that very recently came up for us, and I think I am going to name the brand. It was NFL. So we started giving away NFL gift cards. Football hosting is a huge part of our business. Families come together and host at their home. And we did this NFL gift card giveaway. It was 2 weeks after players started kneeling on the field, which was a very divisive topic in this country. And some more people started writing on social saying, how dare you support the NFL? You might as well burn a flag. You know, just a lot of really hateful and negative things. And we have customers in the middle of the country who are more conservative, or all over, not necessarily just the middle of the country, but that's tend to be where we see most of that kind of dialogue. And then we also have very urban East Coast audiences where it's completely different, maybe a set of political views. And for us, we kind of did not engage with that type of discussion because we kind of thought it's a product that we sell. It's an organization that's been around forever. It's something that we don't want to get involved in this conversation with. But we're also founded by immigrants. And we deeply believe in the diversity of this country. And it was the kind of thing where we're not going to rise to it. We're not going to take it away. We're just going to stand by it. But it was a tough call because we potentially lost some customers there.
Other questions? Okay, I'm going to sneak one in. I always look for that little opportunity for me to get my question in. Jessica, you mentioned that you're a small technology company. So what about the bigger brands? We've just heard from one bigger brand mm-hmm. who are in the room. What advice do you have for them in terms of taking some risk, you know, getting outside the box, no pun intended, you know, just thinking creatively outside the box, right, to apply some of the things that you've been doing, you know, in a different industry, in a bigger company maybe?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think a lot of the people that believed in Bulk is Beautiful were maybe, I mean, when I say established, like our founders are still pretty young, but it was the art students fresh out of college that lead a lot of these campaigns. You know, the one, I keep going back to the Halloween, but I just think it's so fun. That's a 23-year-old who decided that she ordered the prop, she kind of staged it for us, and it was one of those things where you can talk about marketing Halloween candy all you want, but if you actually employ millennials, maybe ask them, you know, what their thoughts are on the matter, how they would portray it. And I think so often in the room, it comes strategy first, and then the creatives kind of get handed down, this is what you should do. And at Box, it's very much sitting at the same table and saying, these are what the numbers look like, how would you convey this, what are ways we can convey this, and having everyone have an equal stake in that conversation. I know it's not always possible, especially with bigger legal teams. I think we have the luxury of moving quickly and making mistakes. But I think overall, that dialogue, knowing that age and position doesn't necessarily dictate your ability to come up with a great idea, that's been integral to what Boxed has done from day one.
Does anybody want to comment on some of their own thoughts and like their own scenario? Just things that are running through your head right now that you might be willing to share? Yeah? Of course, you'd have to be all the way in the back. That's okay. Get some exercise.
Hi, my name's Anne. I'm with Hollywood Vibe Dance Productions. So what we do is we put on national dance conventions and competitions around the country. So you can imagine my clientele is a lot of dance moms. So what happens is if their child doesn't win or they see something, they can be very catty. I've actually turned like the Facebook reviews off because mostly 95% of, you know, we have a positive review. But those moms, they like to post and then it festers and festers and festers.
Yeah.
So I can't look at it sometimes because it's just sometimes it can just be so negative and then each mom is just capitalizing on one another. How do you not let that get to you, or how, besides turning it into a positive, which we tried to do, but sometimes it's like, what do you do with that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's such a hard question. I think everywhere I've worked, it's been different. I used to work at the Huffington Post. I helped found HuffPost Women. So talking about gender is always a very dangerous thing. And we saw a lot of people giving us like rape threats or like, go kill yourself, or like just things in response to like a makeup review, which was completely inappropriate. And that's the kind of thing, if it's threatening the life of someone, or if it's a clear like line crosser, like I don't feel safe, I'm going to flag that and have it moderated. With Box, we actually don't host reviews on our site yet. I think it is for reasons like that. If we're selling other brands, you know, there's two people involved. But actually, there's UPS, which is a third-party shipper for us, our fulfillment center, and the product. So if someone just has a vendetta against a product or their order was delayed or something, it maybe a review there wouldn't be the most accurate way to talk about our product. On Facebook, I will say I'm not a fan of deleting things unless they're at that line crossing. I think transparency and knowing, for me, like whenever there's a negative comment, that goes to the CEO for me. I do a report where he knows all the negative feedback, if it's a pricing concern, if it's an ethics concern, if it's the NFL thing. I want them to know that people are talking about this because that's their way in as a lightning rod to their customers. But if it's just one person attacking another person, that's terrible. I'm sorry that you have to go through that. I feel like But do you find other moms come to your rescue? One way we did get around similar things, like we have an ambassador program. So we have these women that we notice were buying, men too, were buying a lot of products from us. And so we gave them a lot of free products. We get them the first to try, like new Polar Seltzer flavors, for example. And you know, without payment, these people will go on our Facebook page and just kind of like, be like, that's not very nice. Boxed is great. They did this for me. And they kind of, the audience takes care of themselves. Like rather than having the brand respond, which could be like a volley that just keeps happening, our people step in and speak up too, so maybe there's something to those people that love what you do and could involve.
So I'll give a shout out to one of the sponsors here, Lithium. They have a software platform that enables you to create online communities. I don't know if other sponsors here do that, and if you should check out all the sponsors that are here, by all means, but I know that they do that, so to your point and anybody else that might have interest in that. Jessica, any closing thoughts you want to have or share?
I just want to thank you guys all for being here. I know as a social person, like you're probably constantly having to check your Twitter feeds or your Instagram and actually sit in a room for, God, it's been like an hour, right? By fast, is a big deal. So I'm just really grateful that you're all here. And I'll be around for the rest of the day if you have any questions or want to meet up.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Let's give it up for Jessica. Yeah. Thank you.